This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Momo's not there yet.
Nope, she won't be here for the first segment.
She's coming. Yeah. So I wanted to point out just right off the top, it is Jorge's birthday. It is also Vin Scully's birthday today.
Jorge's way more important in all of this.
No,
I'm actually
no
really upset that Jorge didn't tell me that it was his birthday.
Vin is 93, and Jorge, how old are you?
Vin's 94.
Oh, 94. How old are you, Jorge?
23.
No, shut up. Young, but not that young.
No, 35.
35.
How
All right.
Dare you? How dare you not say it's your birthday, Jorge?
I never do.
Before I get to the first of all, there's so much going on. I just want to kind of set the table here. We got four really big stories happening simultaneously, and we'll keep you up to date on all of them. Rams get worked over by the Green Bay Packers. Trojans announce Lincoln Riley will be their next head coach. Max Scherzer, no longer a Dodger, signs a 3-year, $130 million deal with the Mets, and the Lakers back at .500. After they beat Detroit last night, blew another lead, but wound up winning that game by 4 points. And it is Million Dollar Monday. Before I get to the Rams, Million Dollar Monday. That means that at some point today during the show, I will tell a lie. If you can figure out what it is and call in at 3:30 today, you win Rams tickets and a shot at $1 million by calling the two Super Bowl teams and the final score. Again, Million Dollar Monday is today. Pay attention to absolutely everything, including this. The Rams were just friggin' awful yesterday. And they lost 36-28. In my mind, the game wasn't even that close. The game was not as close as the score would indicate. And the score doesn't indicate that it was necessarily that close. Matthew Stafford, wow, Matthew Stafford has just fallen apart these last three games. The Rams handed Green Bay two early scores. The first one was on a Matthew Stafford fumble deep in Rams territory, and I had Jared Goff flashbacks. I'm like, oh my God, that's so Goffian. That is so Jared Goff to fumble in that particular spot deep in their own territory. And the Packers scored a touchdown with that. Then Sean McVay, and I love Sean McVay, and he'll be on the show Wednesday and all this stuff, and I'll ask him about it. But Sean McVay, at his own 29, goes for it on 4th and 1. Goes for it on 4th and 1, and the announcers, and I think it was Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, you just heard Morales throwing that jab with the Troy Aikman sound.
Was he wrong, though?
Was who wrong?
Troy Aikman.
I'm getting. Can I just slowly roll this out?
I mean, if you really
want
to.
Producer guy gets all caught up, and I want to.
I mean, you're taking your time here. Get to it. Get to the good stuff.
I'm getting there.
Oh, you're edgy.
I am edgy because we lost yesterday.
But you should be used to that. Three in a row. Come on.
Get to the good stuff.
Pick sixes.
I'll tell you what. It may be your birthday.
Niners are 3-0.
It may be your birthday. Yeah, Niners are actually a little roll, sadly. But McVay going for it on 4th and 1 was ridiculous and absolutely desperate. Stafford, for the third straight week, threw a pick six. Returning guys, I mean, J.J. Koski muffs a punt. That led to a score. Matthew Stafford hit Van Jefferson once, hit Odell Beckham Jr. kind of during garbage time. But I think it's fair to ask now, is this really a team that is going to make the playoffs? I mean, they are 7-4 at the moment. Schedule-wise, it is not favorable. Schedule-wise, they get Jacksonville this week, so let's just chalk that up as a win. I hesitantly do that. I know every week there's a possibility for disaster. I think they probably get right versus Jacksonville. We're 8-4. Then we enter a stretch of at Arizona, home to Seattle. And I know Seattle's been bad, but they still have Russell Wilson. at the Vikings. The Vikings rose up and beat Green Bay last week. They're only 5-6, but they are right on the fringes of the NFC playoffs. Then at the Ravens, 8-3, and home to the Niners, who, as Jorge points out, are now 6-5 and on a little bit of a roll, tied with Dallas now for the 4 seed in the NFC with the Niners a game back. You know, a lot of this comes down to Stafford. A lot of it comes down to Matthew Stafford. And the Rams moved a lot of draft picks for Matthew Stafford. And as a, let's be honest, you guys and me and Bergman and Jorge didn't watch a lot of Detroit Lions football over the last decade. But Matthew Stafford may have been on our fantasy teams at some point. So we saw the numbers roll up, and we were like, yeah, Matthew Stafford, 300-yard games. Yeah, Matthew Stafford, 3 touchdowns. The interceptions we didn't necessarily notice. The fumbles we didn't necessarily notice. Something has happened to Matthew Stafford in these last 3 weeks, and it started in the Tennessee game. It continued through the Niners game where he had 2 more picks, including a pick six, although I would argue that pick six wasn't really his fault. What music are we playing here? Sad music? Screw you. Screw you. I think at this point it is fair to ask, is this a playoff team? Is this a playoff team? And I still believe it is, but I think it's probably only a team that wins 10 games. I think they've got 3 more wins on the schedule. And I think they sneak in as a wild card. They have no home playoff games, which is frustrating for me as a season ticket holder. I hope to see 1 playoff game this year. But Matthew Stafford has got to figure something out. He's got to figure something out. And a lot of this comes down to losing Robert Woods. What are you guys doing to me?
Get to the good stuff, man.
Sorry, man. Like, you're laying it all out. It's really nice. It's really good. Like, you're going through every single little bit of things.
No, I'm not. I'm saying, is this a playoff team?
I know. Like, I feel like because Momo's not here yet that you're like, I gotta fill.
I'm not filling. I'm doing a solo show for a couple of minutes until you guys start playing snoring noises.
Right. Because, I mean, like, look, you told us, oh, I'm going to go hard when I come on today. And then this is what we got.
Yeah, I don't know if they're a playoff team. I think that's hard. I think Matthew Stafford has been Drek the last 3 weeks. Matthew Stafford has been awful. And I pulled out a number. This was from the LA Times, which I think is telling. Matthew Stafford is now 0-17 in his career against teams that are at least 5 games over 500 like Green Bay was yesterday. And I think it's fair to say, can Matthew Stafford win the big games? Can he win the big games? You know, he wilted against Tennessee, had a terrible game. San Francisco, not a team 5 or more games over 500, but and yesterday, of course, Green Bay had been rolling going into the game. I thought it was a terrible performance. I think it's a terrible performance for Matthew Stafford. And I think there are real questions now about whether or not the Rams made a mistake by trading draft picks, draft capital for Matthew Stafford. He was supposed to be the guy. He was supposed to be the guy that would elevate this Rams offense. He was supposed to be the guy that was the perfect fit for Sean McVay and exactly what Sean McVay wanted to do, wants to do, likes to do. And now there are question marks, and they are legitimate question marks. I think it's also fair to say that since they lost Robert Woods, that this offense has not been able to adjust. OBJ was fine yesterday. I think he had 5 catches yesterday, had 1 long one during garbage time. Matthew Stafford hit him deep. But I think it's fair to say that the Rams do not have the depth at wide receiver to be able to sustain the loss of Robert Woods. So I guess in the end, it comes down to Stafford. And did they make the right move? And by the way, oh, it's so great now. I got so excited about Von Miller. Von Miller barely impacted that game yesterday. Got so excited about OBJ. Weren't we all? We were like, oh, yeah, push all the chips in the middle of the table. And what's interesting is Teddy KGB.
You asked us about OBJ.
And Von Miller.
I think he's mad at us, Jorge. He wants us to go now.
Yeah, I'm royally effing pissed off.
Oh, we're just having fun with you, but like, why?
Just a bit. Sorry.
Yeah, it's just a bit. Fine. But like, you brought in Von Miller. Kenny Young was playing great, and the defense was actually playing.
Yeah,
pretty
but
good.
Ernest Johnson's been great.
Has he been as good as what Kenny Young has been?
Yeah, been as good as Kenny Young. Been better actually.
So really you're talking about how Matthew Stafford's been so bad. How much of it is on Stafford, and how much is it on the quarterback guru that is Sean McVay?
It's on Stafford. Stafford. I mean,
you don't, nothing on McVay.
McVay can't make the plays. No, McVay
he's made
can't
terrible
make the
decisions.
I fault McVay for trying to go for it on fourth and a yard at his own 29, that's idiotic. I think Joe Buck and Troy Aikman said that's desperate. It was desperate. And it was unnecessary. They had forced a punt already from Green Bay. So I don't know why he doesn't trust the defense, the vaunted defense with the addition of Von Miller. I just think all sizzle, no steak, man. All sizzle, no steak. You had a couple of big names, and it hasn't added up to much.
No, and the defense, look at what the defense has done over the last three games, too.
Let me just get this right. So you played the snoring noise so that you could interject yourself into the show. Is that
no,
what happened?
No, no. I think, it's most shows, not talking about me specifically, but most shows are better with multiple people. Now, and you were going solo. Then you got mad at us, so I jumped in because you're like, okay, you're mad at us, so I'm going to start talking then. If you want to keep going, go right for it.
I'm not going on if you're going to play a snoring effect.
Right, we will stop playing the snoring effect for you.
When's Momo get here? Jesus.
She'll be here in a few minutes.
And then we'll reset and then have fun and go all over again.
Yeah, that's total BS. Let's go to break. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Yeah, screw Greg Bergman, screw Jorge.
Yeah, what did they do to you, Mace?
Oh, I'm trying to do an opening, and they're playing a friggin' snoring noise.
Oh, man.
It's like, Bergman, why don't you take a segment? Take it away.
I don't need to take it away.
No, take
this
it away.
Your
it's your segment.
No, Momo's here now. You guys can have the segment.
No, it's your segment. Take it away.
What do you want me to talk about? So if it's about the Rams,
not,
Momo, do you want to
me.
Talk to me?
It's not up to me.
He's very mad at me,
it's
and it's understandable. Like, it was, I was wrong
pissed
to
off.
Play
I'm emailing. I'm
everybody
texting
in L.A.
The
is mad today, right? Everybody's mad.
Right.
Mad at the Rams, mad at the Lakers, mad at the
Yeah, but not everybody's mad at Bergman like me.
You know, Bergman to me feels like a convenient target to displace your anger at Max Scherzer leaving, at the Rams stinking, at the Lakers. I don't even want to say they stink. I mean, they are what they are. Right?
No, the Lakers are just ordinary.
They're just, they're frustrating. They're hard to watch. I have a hard time. It's my job to watch them, so I have to watch them. And there are times when I want to turn it off because it's hard to watch that bad basketball. But, you know, it's okay. It's still... I have a great job. This is what we do, okay? So we have to watch them. But, like, the Rams, the Dodgers, I'm actually not even mad at the Dodgers. I'm fine with them. I understand that.
Look, here's the thing. I'm fine with the Dodgers if they nail down a deal with Corey Seager.
Yeah.
I mean, Corey Seager, by all accounts, is going to make a decision by, I think it's 9 p.m. Yeah. Pacific time tonight when the end of the collective bargaining agreement happens. And he's narrowed it down to, again, according to credited sources, he's narrowed it down to Dodgers, Yankees, and the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, Rams.
Who already signed Marcus Semien. They want to put together a dream double play combination. I can't believe the Rangers would really be in it. But now that the Dodgers didn't sign Scherzer, I would imagine they've got the resources to be able to do a deal.
I'll say this, that I think that, and I'm going to sound like such a homer saying this, okay? I don't mean this to sound like a homer, okay? It's just, it was like 40-something. How much money did he get? $130 million over 3 years?
Yeah, he got 130 over 4 years. That is a $43.3 million annual average, the highest in baseball history.
God bless you. I mean, that, you know, go ahead, take your money. It's fine. Like, I don't
for
want
his
the
age 37
go that,
age
like,
38
if you can
age 39
get it, if
age
you can
40
get it
season.
Go get it, okay? Good for him. I personally, Mace, have never made decisions like that. I mean, I definitely take as much money as I can get, but I would not go leave a championship team to go play for the Mets. I'm sure the Dodgers owner offer was competitive. I'm sure it was. It was probably just 2 years, similar average annual value, but like that people make different decisions, right? Would you take just the highest dollar no matter where it is?
No. Not at all. I did that once. Yeah. I did that once. I took a job in New York City.
New York.
It was the most money.
Yeah.
I went there, and it wasn't my favorite. Actually, I did exactly what Max Scherzer did. I had a very high annual average salary, and I wasn't happy there. So, yeah, people do make money, make decisions based on money, and, if that's the be-all and end-all, if that's what you care about most, if that's what you prioritize over work happiness, life happiness, success happiness, if that's what you prioritize, then yes. Now, do I think the Mets are going to be do I think they're going to beat the Braves? No, I still think the Atlanta Braves are win that division. The Braves are loaded, I think. But if Jake DeGrom comes back healthy and you got Scherzer in the two-hole, I mean, you can be credible, but I don't think that's a World Series team.
Yeah, I mean, either. And like, to me, that says more about him as a person than it does, you know, about the Dodgers. Like, that is a Max Scherzer decision. Now, it has been pointed out amongst the media and people around who've been covering this closely that Max is a big union guy, and when you have a chance to make that kind of money, you can't just say no because you're almost like obligated to get as much as you can. It's high tide lifts all boats, yada, yada. Okay.
Right.
Whatever. It's still your life. It's still the last 3 years of your career, 4 years of your career, however long he's going to pitch. And you got traded to a team that had a chance to win a World Series. It didn't happen. He had a great job closing that game, but then he was done.
He was wasted for the rest of the playoffs.
You know, he got his one championship, I'll go out on a limb and say that's the only one he'll get. That's it. You made your choice.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think you're probably right. I don't think he's going to win a championship with the New York Mets.
No.
By the way, among the free agent pitchers still on the market for the Dodgers, Robbie Ray is now off the board. Robbie Ray has signed a deal with the Seattle Mariners. He had a good year with the Yankees this year. That leaves one guy as a free agent out there, Marcus Stroman. But there's been really no linkage between Marcus Stroman and
Dodgers. That guy. I like his attitude. He's good.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's great.
But you know what? I'll say this. I have seen enough from the Dodgers front office, isn't it? And frankly, ownership, to say I trust them. I don't think they got cheap here. I think they stayed disciplined. They did the same thing with Zach Greinke. When there comes to be a point where it just doesn't make sense financially, they hold the line and they have made that decision before. And then when it's time to spend, they do. So they spent money on they find these trades. Like last year, did you ever think they were going to get Scherzer and Trey Turner?
No, never. The Scherzer deal, not surprising. The Trey Turner part of it, very surprising.
So, like, I've seen enough from them to say, especially now in baseball where bad teams trade really good players at the deadline every year, I'm okay with this. It's fine. Would it have been great to keep him? Yeah. The team that I actually am very disappointed in is the Angels.
Yeah, the Angels.
Oh.
The Angels apparently were much closer on Scherzer than the Dodgers were.
Yeah, and you know what?
Negotiations, and the Angels were closer than the Dodgers to acquiring Scherzer, but neither team was close to matching the three-year, $130 million deal.
And it's just, when I look at Anaheim, they needed... And I call them Anaheim on purpose, okay?
Yeah.
They needed to make that deal. They need a big signature move. I like that they got Syndergaard. Great. Good job. There was a reliever they got. I don't know. Loop, whatever. Those are their two moves.
Yeah, Aaron Loop.
You have Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. And those guys need some pitching. They need a better team around them. And, you know, you overpay when you're desperate. You overpay when you're trying to make a point. The Mets and their new Steve Cohen guy, like, he's trying to make a point. I'm going to open up the vault and spend, and I'm going to be the team that, that goes crazy with spending money. Good for him. But the Angels needed to do that too. And the last time I've seen them spend money was on Anthony Rendon, and that was a disaster. So
here's a little update. Andy Martino, who's a good baseball reporter in New York, says that it's a two-horse race between the Rangers and Dodgers. The Yankees aren't believed to have been as aggressive on Corey Seager. So it looks like it comes down to either the Texas Rangers, who already signed Marcus Semien today, or the Seager staying with the Dodgers. And it is believed that Corey Seager will sign today.
And so, like, Mace, how is this even a choice? If you're Corey Seager, how is that even a choice between those two teams?
You just pointed out money. If the Dodgers don't go 10 years, $350 million, they probably don't get Corey Seager.
Fine, let
him
go.
That's probably what it takes.
Fine. I'm okay with that. Whatever. There's so many good shortstops out there right now.
They're disappearing. They're disappearing off the market.
There's plenty of good shortstops, and there's Gavin Lux, and there's Trey
Turner. Well, I think that's the shortstop. If they don't get Corey Seager, they are reportedly not interested in any of the other free agent shortstops.
Yeah, so that's
they
a
would
report.
Move Trey Turner to short and play Gavin Lux at second. But a lot of people are saying, well, if they don't get Corey Seager, does that mean this is a rebuild? Has the window closed? No, of course not. Of course not. They're the Dodgers. They've got the resources to be able to do whatever they really need to do to win the National League West and to make another run at a world championship. But we are seeing potentially a changing the guard.
Yeah, look, if they lose all of their free agents, and that's a possibility. Like, they might lose everyone. Clayton Kershaw could leave. Kenley Jansen could
Chris
leave.
Taylor
Chris Taylor
could leave.
Yeah. They might lose all of them, and that's really a changing of the guard because in baseball, we don't talk about culture as much, but they really did have a great clubhouse culture, and I think that you lose a lot of that when you lose all those guys.
Okay, so we'll keep up to date on exactly what's going on with the Dodgers, and if we get any breaking Corey Seager news, we will get it to you right away. In the meantime, the USC Trojans pulled off a coup over the weekend.
You can play a fight song. I'm impressed. They get a couple fight songs from us, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Which one you want?
Mike Bone makes the home run higher.
Which one you want? You want the Fleetwood Mac one? You want Tusk, or you want?
Yeah, no, this is good. Yeah, this is it.
And you know what? If you're mad at Greg, I think you should play it at least once an hour.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have access to buttons, so we won't be able to do that. But
you're the chef, you know? You just.
I wasn't the first segment.
Oh, so, you know what? I got your back now, Mace. I'm here with you.
USC just completely blew all expectations out of the water. Nobody, for all the time that we have been on the air speculating about potential new Trojans head coach, we never mentioned Lincoln Riley because we never had the idea that Lincoln Riley was a guy who would move.
How did they get him? Did they blackmail him? Like, seriously, how did they do that? I don't understand.
It was obviously very, very quiet. This is Matt Fortuna tweeted this. USC first major opening way back in week 2 and the quietest in terms of leaks and the like. The silence was deafening, leading to denials from Brian Kelly and extensions for many others. Mike Bone knew exactly what they were doing. What a move.
Take that guy to Vegas.
Yeah.
Man, that guy's got a poker face.
And this guy, by the way, 55-10 at Oklahoma. 3 appearances in the college football playoff. Back-to-back Heisman winners, Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. A runner-up Heisman candidate in Jalen Hurts.
Everybody's leaving them, too. Like, all the recruits he has coming in, Mace, they're like, nah, if Lincoln's gone, I'm out.
They're bailing. Spencer Rattler, who's a quarterback for them, had a disappointing year. He's out.
He's out.
Malachi Nelson, who's from down here at Los Alamitos, he was part of the class of 2023. He's out. They've lost wide receivers. They've lost linebackers. I mean, he was the guy and the reason why young players were committing to OU. And now he's here.
Mace, do you remember when they floated that random Mike Tomlin trial balloon?
Oh, yeah, Mike Tomlin. Never say never, but never. Never say never, but never.
That, like, honestly, I am, like, as somebody in the media, this is not a sport that I cover regularly, but I have in the past. I have not seen a well-executed, can we call it a blindside? Can we call, what do we going to call this? Like
sneak attack?
Sneak attack. Like, he just lost to Oklahoma State, walks out, and somebody says, "Are you going to take the LSU job?" And he goes, "I'll tell you what, I'm not going to be the LSU coach. Let's shut those rumors down."
Yep.
At the same time, he's basically finalizing an agreement with USC. Damn, that's good.
The thing I love is,
pull that off.
Only 38 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy, a program builder, who you've got at a really, really young age, who is now 38. Does that make you a millennial? I think it does.
I think it does, yeah.
So they've got a millennial head coach competing for young players who's great in a room, who's had, obviously, can sit in a room and say, "You know what? I helped Kyler Murray win the Heisman Trophy.
Oh.
I helped Baker Mayfield win the Heisman Trophy. We are going to throw the hell out of the football. It is the air raid offense, and we do it better than anybody else."
They have, what, a week or two before the early commit window ends, right? The
yes.
recruiting window ends. And this is how out of touch we've all been with college football, because USC has been bad, right?
Yep.
It's like nobody's been paying attention other than the people who are really diehards, okay?
Correct.
I mean, I follow Scott Wolf on Twitter. I still,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I still
yeah.
keep up with Abraham. I still keep up with, you
Ryan
know.
Abraham, by the way, is coming up for you here in 10 minutes.
Hey, that's
five
a good get. Good get. But I still pay attention. USC's recruiting was embarrassing this year. It was going to be
terrible.
One of the worst recruiting classes they've ever had. I want to see what happens in the next week or two.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be, and they didn't just get Lincoln Riley. He's leaving now. He's coming to USC and doing a press conference today at 3 o'clock.
At the point at which recruiting still means something. In other words, he's getting here early enough to still recruit. And I would imagine he's going to start hitting kids' living rooms, family living rooms, by 7 o'clock tonight. So we got that. We got Ryan Abraham coming up next for you. Big day for USC. Exciting day for USC. As Lincoln Riley will be introduced as the 30th head coach of the USC Trojans. And Ryan's next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the USC Trojans have got a brand new head coach. It really was a sneak attack. Nobody saw it coming. At no point did I hear Lincoln Riley's name mentioned, but he is the guy. And joining us right now from USCfootball.com is Ryan Abraham. Ryan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. USC fans have finally have something to be excited about, Steve. It's been a long time.
So when did you – why were there no rumors, no conversation, no behind-the-scenes stuff on this? How did Mike Bone keep it so quiet?
So I think they've just come in with the attitude of, we're going to keep it in-house. Mike Bone and Brandon Sosner were pretty much the only two people running the search. And if you heard from a former player or a booster, they really didn't know what was going on either, people trying to put it together. And from what we understand, this was sort of like a white whale for the athletic department. Someone they looked at Cincinnati when they hired Luke Fickell, and there was an opportunity there. I don't know, you know, if Bedlam goes the other way, is USC able to get Mike Riley? Lincoln Riley. I feel like there's just a lot of pieces that had to fall into place, but they did a really good job of keeping this quiet and got the guy they wanted.
Why did he take the job?
So I think, you know, there's been a lot of flack. People saying, "Oh, he doesn't want to go to the SEC," but when you look at the potential of a USC program, it's a better job than Oklahoma. I mean, it's a top five job in college football. Now, I haven't treated like it. USC administration hasn't treated it like it is, but the potential is there. I mean, there is a clear path to the college football playoff and national championships again. He's someone that's won a bunch of Heisman trophies and made it to playoffs. So I think you see the potential in a USC job. And all you need is good leadership. You almost have to try to screw it up. And that's really what the Trojans have been doing. Now they've got good leadership there in the athletic department and now with the football team. And the pieces are there for them to go make some other national title kind of run here in the next 3-4 years.
And he's only 38 years old, which I find amazing. If you're trying to build a program from the ground, rebuild a program, I guess, from the ground up, to reset the program, let's say, it seems to me going with a guy who's younger, a guy who's going to be here for, you know, a decade or more is the right way to go.
Yeah, I mean, it does. And if you wanted, you know, Nick Saban's the greatest of all time, but, you know, he's going to be 70 years old or whatever. Do you want him to come over and take over USC? How long would that be? A Dabo Swinney, like, if you just look at the potential pie-in-the-sky candidates that you wouldn't think of any chance that USC could hire, Lincoln Riley would be right up there with all those guys. Like you said, because he's 38 years old, he's young, has a lot of proven success. And we'll see if he can take USC to the next level where they're winning conference championships again. They've only won one in the last dozen years. But also, you want to make the college football playoff in this current format or the expanded one. And then, you know, make runs at national championships again. So we'll see. I mean, the first step's going to be recruiting over these next couple of weeks, building a staff, and all that. But the big one, what you needed to do was get a great leader, and it looks like Mike Bone and Brandon Stosna were able to do that.
How quickly does this affect recruiting? Like, is he literally going to flip people who are going to Oklahoma and get them back to USC?
Yeah, so there's 8 decommits, I believe, already, at least last I checked, from Oklahoma. There's a lot of kids, Southern California, in the 2023 class, but this 2022 class, which is signing in a couple of weeks, is a big one. USC's had pretty much 2 bad classes in the last 3 years. It would have been hard to afford another one. And well, that's the way that was going. They just weren't getting momentum. They've had a bunch of guys decommit. Now that's all changing. I mean, I think the fact that Lincoln Riley was recruiting Southern California as hard as he did, the Fresno area, really getting great athletes out of California, there's an opportunity for these these student athletes to stay home. And Pete Carroll did a great job of that, making it kind of cool to stay on the West Coast, and that's what Lincoln Riley's going to be tapped to do, make it cool to stay on the West Coast. And I think it's going to help USC, but certainly a whole Pac-12, because right now the very best players in California are going elsewhere.
Spencer Rattler, quarterback from Oklahoma, decommitted went into the transfer portal. I should say, no, he didn't recommit, decommit, he went into the transfer portal. There are a number of other guys that went into the transfer portal. Do you think Jackson Dart is the quarterback next year for USC, or is there going to be a competition?
Yeah, this is going to be a great question because, you know, this is a whole new game, right? So Lincoln Riley comes in, he's going to have his offense be a little bit different. You would think Jackson would be the leader in the clubhouse, but if you get a transfer, it could be Spencer Rattler, could be Caleb Williams, who's, you know, he hasn't in the transfer portal yet, but he very well could be. And if you've already played for Lincoln Riley before, that would probably give you some sort of leg up. We don't think Keaton Slovis will be in the program, either going to the NFL or going to the transfer portal himself and finding someplace else to go. They still have Miller Moss, but there's not a lot of options as far as like scholarship quarterbacks. So you would think whenever there's a coaching search in this modern college football, there's going to be turnover. There's going to be guys going in the portal. And I think Dart would be the leader in the clubhouse right now, but that certainly can change if you get a quarterback or two transferring in, especially one that has experience of winning.
How much money did they pay him? I know it hasn't come out yet, but it's not
and
just
probably
about.
Probably won't necessarily.
Probably won't. But like, just ball. You know, what are we talking about? Is it just money that they threw at him? Is it investment in resources, investment in assistant coaches? Like, what did they have to give him and promise him to get him to come?
Yeah, I think there's been if they've shown that they can invest in the program, and even just like in the women's basketball program, getting Lindsay Gottlieb, yep, and giving her whatever she needs. They want to bring in winners, and there was USC fans who were questioning if the administration, if the university itself was going to back this, and it looks like they did. I mean, I'm guessing it's a $10-12 million payday. Although, I mean, it's going to be big, but just see like a Mel Tucker who has one winning season get 10 years, $95 million. It's the whole game is changing, and if you want to get the guy you want, you're going to have to spend money. But I think they've been smart about it a lot too, and the fact that They waited a little longer than most people wanted to fire Clay Helton, but during that time, they built up the infrastructure around him. And if they didn't do that, maybe you don't get a Lincoln Riley. So I think it's been a global investment, I guess you could say, throughout the athletic department. But there's certainly the biggest one is going to be, you know, getting your guy, and Lincoln Riley is going to have a heavy price tag. Well, I don't know if we'll find out today at the press conference, but it's got to be north of $10 million.
Wow. Generally speaking, you deal with a lot of alums and a lot of USC fans on USCfootball.com. Is the reaction just home run higher?
It's been home run across the board. And the fact that, you know, this is the first time probably since 1925, like literally Howard Jones, the original coach from USC that won national championships, who was a proven winner elsewhere. They've always hired from within, or, I mean, Pete Carroll wasn't the first pick or anything. He's been very successful, but they haven't done something like this before. And just if you look at some of the message boards on our site, everyone's crazy. The fans are excited. But if you go across the Pac-12, fans aren't very excited. They didn't want USC to wake up from the doldrums. They didn't want USC to actually treat football as it was important and make good hires. And that's probably why John's not in work today, I assume, right? Now he's up in Sacramento. It's just he didn't want to come, you know, knowing Lincoln Riley's the head coach of
USC.
Correct,
yeah. He wanted to avoid the story altogether. All right. Hey, listen, Ryan, thank you very much for checking in, man. We appreciate it, and exciting times.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, cool. We have breaking news, and this is Jeff Passan is reporting this. Jorge, if you get the breaking news sound. Breaking news is brought to you by our friends at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com to find a location near you and to download up to $15 in coupons. Jeff Passan reporting breaking. Star shortstop Corey Seager and the Texas Rangers are in agreement on a 10-year, $325 million deal. Sources familiar with the situation tell ESPN. So today, the Dodgers have lost both Max Scherzer and now Corey Seager to the Texas Rangers. That is bad news.
That is rough.
I really thought they were keeping him.
I did too.
I thought they were going to do what it took to keep him.
I thought so too. I thought he wanted to stay. I thought he cared about winning, but I guess not. Just put it that way. You go to the Rangers? Like, when's the last time they won? It was like 10 years ago they were in the World Series against with Ron
Washington. You were really going hard on guys that just take the money.
I don't believe in it. I just think it's – you got to choose your life and you're – I mean, look, I guess they both have a ring, so that'll be the only one they win. Have fun.
Wow.
Sorry, I'm just cold like that today.
You are cold.
I'm cold. Well, it's not like you're choosing between $325 million and $100 million. I'm sure the Dodgers' offer was close.
It had to be in the ballpark.
Yeah, so it's just principle. It's just about your principle. But you already knew Corey Seager was about that money because he would have already had a deal done. Like, the Dodgers tried to negotiate with him. They tried to do stuff with him all year long. He really cared about the money. And when you have Scott Boras as your agent, that tells you what you need to know. Like, this is what they want. This is what you have Scott Boras out there because he'll get you the most money.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay, good job. Enjoy your time in Texas.
All right, so let's let's get some of you guys involved. And there's sort of multiple things going on at the same time here. Lincoln Riley, new head coach at USC, that's great news. Corey Seager going to the Texas Rangers, that's bad news. Rams losing, that's bad news for me and for Rams fans.
Scherzer.
Yeah, I mentioned Scherzer.
Yeah.
877-710-ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Lie of the day. At some point today, I'm going to tell a lie, and if you figure it out and call in today at 3:30, you win Rams tickets and a shot at $1 million by calling the two Super Bowl teams and the final score. You know what I noticed, Momo?
What's that?
A lot of people over the course of Million Dollar Monday have picked the Rams to go to the Super Bowl.
Yep, they do.
And I am feeling like that is a long shot at best.
Ooh.
Long shot at best.
That was a rough game yesterday.
Terrible. Terrible game. Terrible game.
I mean, look, I have many things. Do you want to talk about the Rams? Are we ready to go there?
Actually, yeah.
Are we in that mood
yet? We got
yet?
Calls all over the place. I want to take some of them. Let's go to Robert in
La
Puente.
Are mad
Robert,
today.
You're on 710. What's up?
Hey, Mace, I got to disagree with you with your opening statement about our Rams. Okay. I don't put this on Stafford, okay? I put this on McVay, and I'll tell you why. You're so supposed to improve as the season goes on. We're past midpoint now. They were supposed to come out of this break fixing all whatever needs fixing. That includes the play calling. You got to give your opportunity to your guys to be successful. More running plays. Come out banging heads and stop doing the same stuff. There's no excuse, because remember, we said at the beginning of the season, even right. Too bad John's not here because he's the one who said it, that, hey, you got your quarterback, no more excuses. If it doesn't work out, it's on you now.
Well, okay, I'm going to go with that. I don't know if Stafford is the right guy. And that is the guy that was anointed by Sean McVay, anointed by Les Snead. He was the guy. And right now, he does not look like the guy. He's had three terrible games. So if you're saying, I don't think it's necessarily play calling. They lost Robert Woods, and I think that changes the ball game. At the same time, if you're talking about them as, hey, we chose Matthew Stafford, it may be that they chose the wrong guy because he is getting worse as the season goes along.
But one thing, Steve, though, okay, if you had Goff and you're having the same problems, we're having the pick sixes, we're having the interception.
Yes.
Is it really, are you really giving your quarterback the opportunity to be successful? Why aren't we how come we went away from rolling our quarterback out where he can see the whole field like we were early in the season? Why aren't we seeing the receiver coming around on an end around for the ball and running it?
You're saying the jet sweep, right? I totally hear you. And again, I think, you know, if you think about it, who was the guy that got that jet sweep all the time? Was Robert Woods. They're integrating a new receiver into the offense at a critical time in the year. Hey, Robert, thanks very much for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be blunt. I just don't know if Stafford is the guy.
I don't know if I put a lot of this on Stafford, but I will say this. The Rams have gotten away from what they were doing to win ball games, which is running the ball, being balanced on offense, controlling the time of possession. The last couple of games, they're getting doubled their defense on the field twice as long as their offense. Like, those guys are tired out there. I know they're stars and they're great, but
oh yeah, they just ground out yardage. Yeah. I mean, I think they had a half hour more in possession
time.
30
I mean, you're not
going
to win games like that. You got to run the ball. You have to have a balanced offense.
Yeah.
And some of that is they're falling behind early and they have to throw the ball to get back in it. But some of that is going away from what brought you there.
Let's jump to Devin in L.A. Devin, you're on 710. What's going on, Devin?
What's going on, Mason Momo? Happy Monday. Happy holidays. Real quick, I just want to throw my name in the hat for the Caller of the Year for the Mandy Award.
Hey, Caller of the
Year. Get that out the way.
Yep.
Shoot your shot, man.
Now,
go for it.
One more thing. Happy birthday, Jorge. Happy birthday, brother.
Gracias.
No problem. Now, real quick, I think all the coaches in L.A. are on the hot seat, Mason Momo.
Everybody!
Everybody's on the hot seat. I'm talking about from Dave Roberts to McVay to
Lincoln Riley.
Boy,
he
Vogel.
Hasn't even started yet, but he's on the
Lincoln
hot
Riley's
seat.
Lincoln Riley's not on the hot seat yet. It's early.
All right. We'll give Lincoln a pass, but I'll go to the Rams.
Okay.
The Rams and the Lakers both have the same issue. It's like, the word is chemistry. And LeBron had an issue back in Cleveland. He made a statement a couple years ago when the Cavs were too top heavy.
Yep.
I think the Lakers, as well as the Rams, chemistry is not where it needs to be. I blame the head coaches, and I think both teams are just too top heavy. I'm out.
That is fair. That is fair, Devin. Thank you very much for the phone call. Yeah, you know, as I looked at the first of all, the Lakers, obviously, you know, we've got the big three, and we've got a bunch of guys who, and we don't play a lot of defense, and they managed to somehow blow a 19-point lead last night. They still won it by four, but that's against a really bad team. They blew two leads against Sacramento, lost that game in triple overtime over the weekend. So they are top heavy, and I don't think we necessarily have the pieces in place. With Kuzma gone, with Caruso gone, with KCP gone, the guys to play that level of defense that Frank Vogel wants. But that's sort of the hand Frank was dealt. I mean, Frank was dealt that hand. In the case of the Rams, this is the way they're built, man. They're built with big stars. They're built with Aaron Donald. They're built with Matthew Stafford. They're built with Von Miller. They sign OBJ. They are top heavy because they were going all in. And you know that little gif of Teddy KGB throwing the key, the chips in? And we use that a lot. Actually, the Rams actually tweeted it out at one point after they signed OBJ. The thing that everybody forgot, or a lot of people forgot, is that Teddy KGB lost that game.
I know.
He lost that
but,
game.
But here's the thing. I don't think chemistry is not as big a deal in football. Okay,
I agree.
And it's
but no, wait a minute. There is, I mean,
there's
obviously,
something to
OBJ
that.
OBJ and Matthew Stafford have no chemistry. Because they haven't played together.
Yeah, but he did okay yesterday. That's not why they lost. They lost because they have too many. They're losing the turnover battle every game.
Yep.
And because they're losing the time of possession battle every game. So when your defense is on the field that much, doesn't matter how good you are, you're going to get tired eventually. Okay? And when your quarterback's turning the ball over and you're giving them – how many points did the Packers score off those turnovers? I think it was 16.
10, 7 – they scored 14, 17 off 17. The turnovers.
I mean, what are we talking about here? Like, you turn the ball
actually,
over.
Actually, if you count the muffed punt, it's even more.
Yeah, it's even more. This has been the story all 3 weeks. He's thrown a pick six in 3 straight games.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, sometimes yeah, Occam's razor.
That's why I put it at the doorstep of Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
But as the caller pointed out, as Robert pointed out, well, if it goes wrong, that's the guy that Sean McVay and
that's
Les
right.
Snead wanted. That's their guy, and he is flopping. He is flailing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say he can't turn it around, but as of this moment, he does not look like a Super Bowl quarterback.
No, and look, he looks very Goffy right now.
Very yeah. Goffian.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you took the Stafford off the Lions, but you haven't taken the Lions out of Stafford. I mean, this is what it looks like right now, and it's
Let me get one more thing in here. Let me get Solomon in Lake Balboa on the line. Solomon, you're on 710. What are you doing, man?
Hey, guys. I'm good. Thank you so much for taking my call, and happy holidays to everybody.
Yes,
thank you, man. Appreciate it. Regarding the Dodgers, Scherzer, yeah, great talent. Terrific during the regular season. Got a little iffy there in the postseason. Sometimes when there's smoke, there's fire. So this could be down the road. This guy's going to get a little injury prone at the end of seasons, and I wouldn't chance that. So I'm okay with him leaving.
Yep.
Corey Seager, from what I understand, if he did not want to play any other position but shortstop and tied the Dodgers' hands, fine. God bless you. Thank you, Corey. You've been phenomenal for us. Good luck in the future. You got Trey Turner at short. You got Gavin Lux coming in at second. I don't think the Dodgers are going to be hurting that badly with his departure.
Okay. Solomon, thank you very much. A very optimistic view of the Dodgers. I like that.
I mean, they're going to miss him. They're going to miss Scherzer and Corey Seager. Those guys are great.
Absolutely. And they've got work to do in their starting
rotation.
Work
to do. But you know what? We have no idea what the new collective bargaining agreement is going to look like. Once we get to the lockout, we have no idea what baseball will look like. I guarantee you there will be bargains to be had. There will be opportunistic trades to be made.
I wonder if the Dodgers will make a run at Chris Taylor tonight before the collective bargaining agreement ends. I wonder if they might make a run at him tonight.
I doubt it. I mean,
you doubt it?
No, I think if I'm all these teams, all these big market teams are sitting back and waiting to see what the new CBA is going to look like. I mean, you notice the Yankees haven't done much either. And I think there's a reason is that if you make a move now, depending on how the CBA shakes out, this could affect the way that you're able to operate going forward. So I don't hate that they're sitting this out right now.
Yeah, I mean, no major signings, unless I'm not thinking of somebody, no major signings. Andrew Heaney was the one signing they had, who's going to be a rotation filler for him. All right, coming up next for you, going to spin the wheel of questions.
Ooh.
It's all Laker questions
good,
on the
like
wheel
it.
Today.
Yeah, good.
So we got that coming up for you, plus more of your calls, 877-710-ESPN, plus lie of the day. At some point, I will tell a lie today. Figure it out, win a pair of Rams tickets, win a shot at $1 million, name the two Super Bowl teams, and the final score, and win a Vote for Jorge t-shirt, all that stuff. If you can identify our lie of the day at 3:30 today, Mason in Ireland, Momo in for John, 710 ESPN.